Justice and judgment are built into the name of the Lord. They are only two of many holy attributes which comprise His character. In the Lord alone is the capacity to render to everyone their due with unbiased scales. I call them the righteous scales of God. He is God, and His justice and judgment are righteous and final. Like in Daniel 5, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. God gave Daniel the interpretation, wherewith the Lord revealed that the king had been weighed on the scales of justice and was found wanting. The Lord God Almighty is indeed the judge of the quick and the dead. Who are the quick and who are the dead? Maybe the fast and lazy? Yeah, I think more. According to God, who is the personification of truth, just because we breathe doesn't mean we are alive. Just because God gives each person the right to breathe and to choose doesn't mean we possess life, nor does it mean He knows our name. In Matthew 7, there will be many who will declare they did this and that in His name, but He will say, "I never knew you." Contrary to popular belief, when our lives are over, there will not be several alternatives to choose from. Hebrews 9:27. A man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment. Standing before Almighty God, each will know his judgment is right and just. With faith in the Son of God, grace balances the scales of God, and it is well with our soul. Without Jesus in our lives, grace is not added, and the dead or those without Christ will be found wanting. Simple as that. With Jesus, we will live. Without Jesus, we are already dead and just don't know it. God's judgment and justice was, is, and will be right, and there is never a time when it is not. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a late-night broadcast from the deck area overlooking the broad, beautiful Ocklawaha River. The seasons come and go, and the river just runs on and on. This week is a continuation of last week, so hang with me. Tap your toe and dream a little, and let's take a short break. In Isaiah 59:14-15, there are four which go together: justice, righteousness, truth, and honesty. It is not possible, is not possible, to have justice without truth and honesty. Neither is it possible to have godly kindness without compassion. Wherever justice is, truth and honesty are always nearby. Righteousness and our being able to come to godly conclusions is born out of a life surrendered to Christ and being, in a right relationship with Jesus and with ourselves. If we can't tell ourselves the truth, it is a high probability we will have increasing difficulty telling anyone else the truth. Without the godly character traits of truth and honesty, justice is driven back and is only a distant vision. In Psalm 89:14, the writer declares rightness of character and a right verdict as building blocks in the foundations of God's throne. When justice is missing, concern for others is missing. God is both a God of justice and a God of love. Psalm 89:14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Now, one of the several earmarks of injustice is a lack of concern for others, and that earmark can be seen through the idea of entitlement. Yep, entitlement. Not all forms of entitlement are wrong, like having the expectation of a response from those who are important to us, or that we are entitled to having our own feelings. But when entitlement becomes inflated, and we expect special favors or special compensation because we have money, come from an important family, have a higher education, or have a special job or a title, now we've got problems. I knew a doctor many years ago who was disgusted with his wealthy patients. One day he told me that some even called him in the middle of the night and expected him to come to their house when they mandated, all because they were important and were wealthy. As people, it's easy for us to carry that chip on our shoulder because things didn't go well when we were children. We are a different color, or our family was poor, or had fallen into dishonor, or somehow shame. We have learned to be excellent victims, demanding our society and government give us special treatment because we're so put upon. Many seem to feel they have the right kind of history, therefore they feel entitled to benefits which never seem to filter down to the quote-unquote lesser people. The wealthy can afford the political and bureaucratic influence of a well-connected attorney. Therefore, they get preferential treatment, and those of lesser resources tend to get lesser judgment because the little people, obviously, don't have the right kind of history. Here are some real prejudicial bias, unjust thinking. Here it is. Some seem to really believe that if the poor had the right kind of history, they wouldn't be poor. That's just straight out wrong. The poor, those with the supposed wrong kind of history, will always be with us, and that's because the wealthy, with the supposed right kind of history, will always be with us too. Do you see the injustice in that? Can you hear the Spirit of the Lord calling for us to stand up, let go of our value judgments based on a personal prejudice, and do justice? Can you hear it? As it stands today, those with the perceived right kind of history get one kind of justice, and those with the wrong kind of history get another kind of justice. From God's perspective, without Christ, everyone and everything has the wrong kind of history. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in His mercy, Jesus died and rose again to bring justice against death, hell, and the grave, that we who have the wrong kind of history could find justice through faith in the only begotten Son of God. Justice isn't vengeance. It isn't returning evil for evil. Justice does not require that we be absolved of our wrong, but more places us in a place where we can receive mercy. Paul quotes Jeremiah 31:34 in Hebrews 8:12, saying, "For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Because God remembers our sins no more does not remove from us the responsibility of our actions and behaviors. There is the justice God worked through Jesus concerning us and sin, and then there is the justice that needs to be satisfied concerning the conflict within ourselves, which inspired us to be led astray to begin with. Do you believe it's possible that a wounded conscience is capable of doing justice without a selfish bias, when everything about us wants to bias everything in our own favor? In God's design, He has promised genuine forgiveness to anyone, criminal or otherwise, who comes to Him. For some who have the right kind of history, finding justice is like finding sand at the beach. It seems just easy peasy. For many, many others, finding justice is more like finding diamonds at the beach, meaning justice is a rare event. Retaliation is part of the pattern that has prevented countless cases from being reported and investigated, exacerbating justice. An incredible percentage of victims who reported being attacked say they faced some kind of retaliation afterward. In 2008, in Sichuan, China, there was an earthquake that measured 8.0. Government-built schools that were only a few years old collapsed, killing most students in them, while nearby buildings remained standing. The government refused to make a thorough investigation. Parents suspected the case was lax building regulations resulting from corruption, and when the parents banded together, pooling their money to purchase legal counsel, the lawyer representing the parents was arrested and imprisoned. A 19-year-old Lance Corporal was stationed at a Marine base in Japan when her sergeant laced her drinks with drugs, raped her, and then dumped her on the street at 4 a.m. She reported it to her superiors, but little happened. She said she discovered her perpetrator was allowed to leave the Marine Corps, and she found herself instead at the center of a separate investigation for drug use. 6 months later, she was kicked out with an other than honorable discharge, one step below honorable discharge, which means she lost her benefits. What do those two stories have in common? Injustice. In 2012 alone, sexual assault in our military was at a staggering 26,000 men and women. And even though reported, the paperwork was somehow mysteriously lost in the system, and no one in our leadership made any serious moves to prosecute the perpetrators. Many were afraid to report those crimes because they feared retaliation. Neither did they believe they would ever get justice. We as believers must ask ourselves the question, What is the payoff for our non-involvement and not doing justice? Why don't we speak up? Silence is not always golden, you know. Recently, I heard of some folks in a local church body having a hard time. They went to the pastor to see if there was any help. Wherewith the pastor told them they were just being manipulative, coming in there all sad and looking for help. In the meantime, the church held a banquet where they asked for donations in addition to the normal tithe in order to get enough money to build a $1 million building. The troubled family, who was accused of being manipulative because they asked for help, took a stand saying, "You didn't mind asking all of us for money, and we're supposed to act like it's just business as usual. But the moment any of us are desperate and need help, you send us packing, accusing us of being manipulative." Are we afraid of retaliation, meaning the cost of doing justice is too high for us? Why do we not fight for the injustice towards a parent who is suffering a cruel verdict by the court and a vindictive spouse? There must be some sort of payoff for us, seeing as how we tend to drag our feet about getting involved with correcting the injustice in our nation. So, what is your payoff for not getting involved? Luke 11:42. Jesus said, straight out and obvious, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God." Jesus tied love, mercy, and justice together. Romans 13:10-12. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when it was first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. For us, as the body of Christ, to be so involved with ourselves and our agenda and entitlements that we let honesty, truth, and justice ebb away from us really does not speak well of us. We comprise the quick among the quick and the dead. The quick are those in Christ, and the dead are those without Christ. And don't you know that even the quick will come before the Lord to be reckoned with? The earliest meaning of quick had nothing to do with speed. It meant endowed with life, or more simply, alive. To quicken was to receive life, and the first movement of a baby in the mother's womb was called the quickening. I repeat, just because we breathe and choose doesn't mean we are alive. With Christ we live, without Christ we are dead and don't know it. Are you ready? 1 Peter 4:5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Stanley Milgram said, With numbing regularity, good people are seen to buckle under the demands of authority and perform actions that are callous and severe. Men who are, in everyday life, responsible and decent, are seduced by the trappings of unjust authority. Most of us don't want any trouble, of course not. We just want to get along and be happy. I think most are afraid that if they stand up and speak out about injustice, whether it's for the quick or the dead, they will be set in the middle of turmoil and trouble and basically be persecuted. But let me add this. If we don't stand up in the face of injustice, we will end up in more trouble and greater turmoil than if we did nothing. I believe a substantial proportion of people simply do what they are told to do, regardless of the content of the act and without limitations of conscience, so long as they perceive that the command comes from a legitimate authority. Thus we see multitudes of people who are busy qualifying themselves in the eyes of others. Friends, there are some really bizarre doctrines being taught in our churches, and so many just believe whatever they're told because, after all,
the pastor said so it must be true.
Jesus said in John 5:31, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid." If a non-brand name person speaks the truth, it seems that no one can hear them. But if someone with the title who openly qualifies themselves speaks the same thing, suddenly everyone agrees and calls their words the truth, or even the Word of God. What is up with our addiction to brand name people and being almost blindly obedient? It is almost as if we can hear brand name people, but somehow we can't quite hear God. There is nothing more difficult to deal with than the blind who don't know they are blind, or the dead who don't know they are dead.
Blind obedience is an aberration.
It does not take into account the unrighteous actions that follow the authoritative demand. Once, when filling out some paperwork, a pastor encouraged me to lie in order to be sure the paperwork was approved. When I asked another friend, who is head of an international mission organization, what he thought I should do, he suggested I simply do what I was told. Yep, he sure did. Just incredible. In that moment, the Holy Spirit encouraged me to leave their counsel out of my life. When we are blindly obedient, leaving justice, truth, honesty, love, and mercy out of our decision-making machine, I say, checkmate, the devil wins. Is that really what we want? If not, then we must take action and get involved. In recovery programs, there is something called play the whole movie, meaning
don't just see the part where you look good or are the hero and feel validated and important. Look further.
Take a moment and think. Play out the whole movie of where your actions take you. See the repercussions of your behavior in the long run. Where does our not being involved with justice take us in the long run? Play the whole movie. Where does our not loving honesty and truth take us in the long run? Again, I say play the whole movie. If you think it's too ugly to imagine because you want everything to just be moonbeams, candy canes, and merry-go-rounds, I say, come on. On, children of God, get a grip. This is no fooling around. A friend of mine said, justice is often born when one oppressed person says no. No, I will not go to the back of the bus. No, I will not be silent before the king. No, my country is a sovereign nation, not a colony. No, human trafficking must not be tolerated. No, I will not be denied my right to vote. No, I am a parent, not a paycheck. No, you may not indiscriminately take my children. No, we may not lie in court for vengeance and hatred. No, you may not just take my house or listen to my private conversations. I have the right to privacy and to my own property. I believe in free speech, but not freedom from consequences. We can say what we want, but we do have to be responsible for the words of our mouth and actions of our lives. I believe in civil rights, and I also stand firmly concerning civil responsibilities also. We can stand firm for our own, but we must also stand firm for others too. Too many are good with whatever happens as long as it doesn't happen to them. And church folk are no different, and maybe the worst, because they know that's not right. We can't wait on someone else at church to do the basic things of faith while we sit in our lawn chairs, drink our mint juleps, and pretend all is good. Justice doesn't just happen. In fact, nothing just happens. Highly prizing the truth and honesty, even to our own hurt, is called maturity. The hour has come for us to wake up from our slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Ephesians 5:13-14. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." That's right, He will. Right there is a big old think about it. Well, I'm Social Porter, and this has been Outposts, an evening of cool jazz and contemplative conversation on the deck overlooking the Ocklawaha River. This evening's programming has been brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, good old Eddie down at Area 22 Guitars, Alan, Kevin, and Tommy of the Mebane Freedom League, Billy Hall at the Little Colonel Package Store on Highway 25, And lest we forget, let me remind you to stop by and see Jeff and Karen at the sweet spot on Main Street, Trinity Bakers, where there's always something good in the oven. All music was provided by Mommy and Me, Bunny Brunel, the Esbjorn Svensson Trio, Stuart Hamm, Paul Hansen, and Bill Frizzell. All music use is licensed through BMI. Isaiah 26:19. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The time to get up and be involved is upon us. We are more than conquerors and live in the superabundance of grace as given to all who believe in Jesus Christ. We are the quick of the quick and the dead. It is high time to wake up and love truth, honesty, and justice. Be silent no longer, my friends. Let me say again, silence is not always golden. Joel 3:9. Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Rouse the warriors. I say, wake up, O sleeper, wake up. Gird your loins, tighten your belt of truth, step up to the plate and let out the word of God in your heart. Do justice this week and don't draw back. Be honest with yourself and your neighbor. And if you can't be honest, have the courage to get at the root of what it is which constrains you. Be strong and courageous, and we'll meet again soon. Amen and amen.